Well, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. We're going to consider the first 20 verses. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Before we read God's holy word, let us go before him once again in prayer. Pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we joyfully approach this time where we can consider your word. Such a great and wonderful gift that you have given us, Lord. And indeed, Lord, even in this wonderful passage where we consider the birth of our Lord, Lord, we pray that you would be at work in our hearts by your Spirit, that you would quicken our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word, that you would bring us great gladness and great adoration and praise from our lips as we consider that which you have done, Lord Jesus, even as you came in the flesh. Lord, we pray that you would work powerfully in your word in our hearts and minds now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, there we read, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, brothers and sisters, today we consider the birth of the King. Gabriel gave the wonderful announcement to Mary that she would give birth to the Messiah, and now here, the angels give a glorious announcement to the shepherds that Christ was born. And the shepherds then made haste and went to Bethlehem and found Jesus in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, just as they had been told. Now, it's true that there were many who missed the significance of the wonder and marvel of Christ's incarnation more than 2,000 years ago. Some didn't know it happened. Some didn't recognize his birth as the clear fulfillment of prophecy and doubted that he was the Messiah. However, let us not be those who miss its significance today. Let us be those, as we consider Luke 2 together, let us be those that are filled with joy and admiration and excitement regarding this account of his marvelous birth. There were many who were filled with great joy when they told the good news, and likewise, those who were joyful when they heard the good news. And respectively, we see this in both the angels and the shepherds, not only in word, but also in action. And so we find the birth of Christ in verses 1 through 7. And the announcement of Jesus' birth to the shepherds in verses 8 through 14. And the shepherds' visit to Jerusalem and their return to the fields in verses 15 through 20. And so in verses 1 through 7, we are told the time, the place, and the manner of Christ's birth. And first, the time of Jesus' birth. In verse 1, we read that it was at the height of the Roman Empire. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." So the Caesar in power was Augustus. And he reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD. Luke, the doctor historian, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shows us that the message of the gospel is deeply rooted in historical fact. It's not fiction. Luke wrote of this historical account. Christ's birth was at the height of the Roman Empire, and it was also when Judea was a province. We see in verse 2 that the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Now, there were some scholars for many years that doubted this scripture because for a time there was no historical evidence of a man named Quirinius. However, later archaeological digs found proof that this man was indeed the governor of Syria toward the end of Augustus's reign in Rome. And we also find in other passages of scripture that Herod was at this time the king of Judea. He had been in power for about 40 years in Jerusalem. He called himself the king of the Jews. The Bible also tells us of Herod's anger and subsequent action when the wise men came from Iraq, telling him that they were looking for the king of the Jews, and they weren't looking for Herod. And so it was here, when Augustus reigned as Caesar, Quirinius governed in Syria, and Herod was in power in Judea, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born. So we see in verse 3, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Now keep in mind that this was a time of peace. The great civil wars of Rome were over. Augustus brought in the Pax Romana, and Rome was in charge of the known world, and there was a registration that took place. And so this was the time of Jesus' birth, but where was he born? In verses 4 and 5, Luke tells us, "Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." And so here we learn that Jesus' mother, along with Joseph, traveled to Bethlehem. And if you recall, it was prophesied in Micah 5, verse 2, that Jesus would be born there. There we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And so centuries before, the prophet Micah said that Jesus would come from this town, from the city of David. And we're told that there were 1,000 little villages like Bethlehem. But from this little village would come the Messiah. He would be born there. He would demonstrate to be the seed of David because Mary and Joseph had to return there to be registered. And notice, we are also told that Mary was great with child. This wasn't an easy journey for Mary, as she was well pregnant. She was just about to deliver. And so in verses 6 through 7, Luke informs us of the manner of Jesus' birth. And the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. My friends, were told that he was literally wrapped in strips of cloth and laid in a feeding trough. Jesus wasn't adorned as royalty at his birth. Clearly, Caesar was in Rome adored with great royal clothing. So were Quirinius and Herod, for that matter. But the King of Kings was wrapped in what Mary and Joseph could provide, strips of cloth. He was in a stable and placed in a manger. Further, Luke tells us that this happened because there was no room in the inn. In other words, there were hotels in town. However, with the crowds returning there for this registration, Bethlehem didn't have room. Couldn't someone have given them their room, considering Mary's condition and her stage of pregnancy? Well, sure. However, by God's plan, Mary was to deliver Christ in a stable. You know, Jesus' entry into our world doesn't merely share similarity with Mary's lowliness. Lowly mother, lowly son. They did what they could. Yet there is far more significance here. One of the marks of Jesus' life and ministry was humility. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself, setting aside his glory, taking on the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men, Philippians 2 tells us. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. And yet Christ's humiliation led to glory. Because he was faithful to his mission, the Father exalted him, giving him the name that is above all names, so that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. The glorious servant king. The one born lowly in Bethlehem. And so the news of Christ's birth wasn't just to slowly meander through the streets of Bethlehem. No, there was a grand announcement, yet to unexpected people. There was a grand announcement to unexpected people, similarly to the announcement to Mary. We find a heavenly messenger and a lowly audience. Luke tells the details as he moves to another scene. And this scene is on the hills surrounding the city of Bethlehem, as he speaks of the announcement of Jesus' birth by the angel of the Lord. Now note, Jesus is the servant king, but he is also the shepherd king. And the shepherd king's birth was announced to shepherds in the vicinity of the city of David. And here in verses 8 through 14, we see the appearance of the angel. Secondly, we also see the message of the angel and the doxology of the angelic army, the heavenly host. And in verse 8 there we read, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So here we find shepherds busy in the field, doing their job, keeping watch over the flock at night. God then comes to reveal to them what has just taken place in the city of Bethlehem. And keep in mind, Matthew 2 tells us that God also informed magi, or wise men from the east, who most scholars believe lived far away in Babylon, the city we know as Baghdad. He informed them through a special star that shone brightly and different than other stars in the night sky. He spoke to them who were at a great distance from where Jesus was born, and they had a great trek to get to Bethlehem. They were a completely different people of different status than the shepherds. And here God spoke to Jewish shepherds surrounding the town of Bethlehem. And when he spoke to the Magi and informed them of what had taken place, he spoke to those of high social status. But here, God spoke through angels to shepherds. And what was true of shepherds in biblical times? Well, they were considered to be a low and despised class of people because their work prevented them from keeping the ceremonial law. Some viewed them as thieves due to their travel around the country, and some also viewed them as unreliable. However, most scholars also believe that these shepherds, the particular shepherds that the angels made the announcement to, didn't care for ordinary flocks. No, they are believed to have watched over the temple flocks, the sheep raised for sacrifice. And Luke tells us that they were watching over the flock at night. Notice they weren't asleep, but they were keeping watch. As one commentator put it, they were broad awake and therefore could not be deceived in what they saw and heard, so as those may be who are half asleep. And so as they watched, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. And if you think about it, these shepherds worked many a night without unusual incidents such as this. However, this night was different. As they watched, suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before them. And not only did he appear to them, but the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Whoa! That is amazing. Literally, they feared a great fear. And note that this is the same Greek phrase in Mark 4:41, when the disciples were fearful after Jesus calmed the storm. Remember, Mark wrote, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?'" And here the angel appeared. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And so the shepherds here were not just a little concerned, but they were afraid. And this messenger of God had a message for them. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" Now, an interesting fact: when the angel of the Lord appears announcing the birth of Christ, whether it be Gabriel to Mary or this angel to the shepherds, though the sight and scene was fearful, notice the similarity in their messages. It began with a command, "Don't be afraid." Beloved, there is no reason to fear when God is pleased to speak to us, bringing good news. And so this angel gives them the message and he gives them a sign. He tells them something that they will be able to see when they get to Bethlehem to verify what he told them was true. And what are they told? The angel told them that he brought them good tidings, good news. Literally, this is the word that we get evangelism from. He brought the gospel. He brought the good news about our Savior. Good news brings great joy, doesn't it? This isn't bad news. This is good news. This is news that should make the heart of every true Jew greatly joyous, even for these shepherds. And yet, this good news of great joy, the angel said, is for all people. Here, the angel of the Lord informs these Jews that this good news isn't just for them. It is for the Gentiles too. The Jews should have understood this, knowing the Old Testament prophecies. But here it is clear. We see that these shepherds understood. And the angel also tells them that it is good news of peace. Peace with God. This peace will come because one is born unto them. Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here they are told this child who had been born is a Savior. His purpose is to save. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. And so they are given the message. And then they are given the sign that Christ would be wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And so they weren't only told to believe, but they were told to believe and see. And Luke then tells us that following the message, this angel was joined by a multitude of others. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." On these hills surrounding Jerusalem, my friends, God had, as it were, opened the veil between the seen and the unseen world. All of a sudden, these men in the seen world see an angel. And then all of a sudden, the veil is opened a little more and they saw a heavenly host of angels. Literally, a multitude of the heavenly army of God. They were afraid when they saw one angel and the glory of the Lord around them. And then there was a multitude. What a glorious sight that must have been. However, much more important than the sight of these messengers was the message that they proclaimed. This message that the Greek tells us even the angels received benefit in proclaiming. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 1 verse 6, that when the Father brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." The writer informs us that God the Father commands the angels to worship Christ at his incarnation. Obviously, that is exactly what the heavenly host is doing, that God has allowed the shepherds to see. "Glory to God in the highest," they said. They begin by giving glory to God. And isn't that where our praise should be? Glory to God in the highest. Great things he has done. Even the sending of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, he was sent to save. He was sent to live and to die for us. But they say on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Literally, peace, God's good pleasure toward men. In other words, The reconciler has come. There is peace on earth because of God's goodwill towards men. Jesus has come to reconcile his people with the Father. The point is that the angelic host worship God for his gospel message, that he has been merciful to his people and made peace with them in sending Christ, who would in time die for our sins, thus bringing reconciliation. And then Luke tells us that the angels return to God in heaven, and we see the shepherd's response and visit as well in verses 15 and 16. Luke tells us that the angels had gone away, the veil was closed, and when they did that, we then see a response from the shepherds that shows us that they believed what they heard. They didn't say, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see if it is so." No, they didn't go doubting or being skeptical of the message, wondering if there indeed would be evidence. They said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass." They saw the angels, they heard the angels, and they believed what they had heard. Isn't it amazing to see the confidence and trust that comes with faith? They heard. They believed. They went. With haste, the text says. With haste. They weren't just strolling along. They were running. They were hurrying to go see the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior. They didn't waste any time. But then we see the shepherd's witness in verse 17. "And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they came with haste. They saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus lying in a manger just as they had been told." And note, having seen Jesus, they then told everyone else about him and what they had heard and what they had seen. "And all those who heard it," note, "marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The good news was spread. The good news was proclaimed. Even as we take the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ far and wide to New Braunfels and beyond, to the ends of the earth. Here the shepherds didn't keep it to themselves. They told everyone. Jesus was born. But then we find the shepherds in worship in verses 19 and 20. Mary pondered, considered these things in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. It's truly a work of the Lord. It is truly a work of the Spirit, my friends, as God brings truth so deeply into our hearts and lives, and the Spirit applies that truth in our hearts and in our minds, that we bubble forth in doxology and praise. They went. They were excited. They saw. They believed. They told everyone. And they go back to their fields praising and worshiping God. Soli Deo Gloria. All glory be to him. Let's ponder and consider the wonder of the birth of Christ in our hearts. That Christ, who was rich, was willing to take on flesh, to humble himself, to be poor, that we might be rich. The wonder of the newborn king and his kingdom of grace and peace is amazing. Jesus came in the fullness of time. The kingdoms of men like Augustus and Quirinius and Herod would rise and fall. However, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has come. His entrance into this world was lowly, But his kingdom is magnificent and wonderful, and it never ends. But we also see the wonder of the incarnation. The Son of God is the Son of Man. Is that not marvelous in your eyes? His name is wonderful. He is the Prince of Peace. God manifest in the flesh. Brothers and sisters, take comfort. Even as B.B. Warfield stated, because of this reality, it is on his almighty arm we can rest, and whose human sympathy we can appeal. If Jesus was just a man, resting on his arm wouldn't bring a whole lot of comfort. However, because Jesus is God, resting on his arm is all comfort. Resting in him is all the comfort that we need in this life. Also, as Hebrews 4:15 tells us, Jesus is our sympathetic high priest, for he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He truly does bring joy to our hearts and wipes away our tears. Jesus was born a human to give us spiritual birth. He occupied a stable that we will occupy mansions in heaven. But we also in this passage see the wonder of the gospel message. Good tidings of great joy. Has that good news brought you great joy, beloved? Have you been filled with joy in Christ because of the peace that he has brought us due to God's good will toward us? Christ is the fountain of mercy and grace. In his death, God put our sins judicially on Christ, and he imputed his righteousness to us. We are at peace with God. The message of his birth is indeed good tidings of great joy. We are no longer at war and at enmity with the living God. But we are at peace with him, those that he holds in his bosom because of the work of his Son. How great is his love for us. Beloved, we are called as God's people to wonder at the King, his kingdom, and the glorious message that the King has given us, that we might be witnesses like the shepherds, not with our eyes, but in faith and proclamation. Let us go tell it on the mountaintops and in the valleys that Jesus Christ was born. Let us also be worshipers like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God, worshiping him, and through worshiping him, witnessing his marvelous grace. Amen. Let us pray.